It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The U.S. conflict with Iran crosses the 100-day mark with more active conflict this week. Congress passes a bill funding immigration enforcement, and the president nominates a new attorney general.
We're checking in with Wisconsin's U.S. senators on those issues.
Yesterday, I talked to Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Well, over 100 days into this war with Iran, you've called it an illegal war of choice in the past. What do you want to see from the White House to resolve this?
Yeah, first of all, we passed the 100-day mark last weekend, and it's important to take stock of where we are right now. Iran still has its nuclear materials. It has basically the same regime in place. One might argue it maybe even be more hardline. And the Strait of Hormuz is still, for all purposes, closed. We've accomplished nothing except for higher prices for Americans. It's already estimated that the average family in America has spent $750 just in the past 100 days to meet the rising costs of Trump's wars. Think in terms of filling your gas tank and the higher cost of groceries and all the things that we're seeing. The inflation numbers this week are staggering. And I've led an effort to bring the Senate to vote to end this war almost weekly since this war began. And my Republican colleagues really have a choice. And we've put that choice to them on a weekly basis. Support this war, the president, and these higher costs, or stand with the American people who want this war to end and vote to end it. We're gaining momentum as time goes on with these weekly votes. And last week, the House even followed suit with what we're doing in the Senate and passed on a bipartisan basis a resolution to end the war. Unfortunately, Wisconsin's Republican congressional delegation voted to keep Trump's war going. But we're trying to put everyone on record and bring this war to an end.
Speaking of those costs, especially as they affect farmers, President Trump was in Chippewa County last week saying, acknowledging, yes, input costs like fertilizer and fuel were up. He made the case, here's a listen, saying this is temporary.
Fertilizer prices are going to go way down, just like they were 4 months ago. Your fertilizer's down, your energy's down, your oil, your gas is all coming way down.
These are temporary price increases, the president says. Your response, Senator.
Well, the president said a lot when he was in Chippewa Falls. He talked a lot about his reflecting pool in Washington, D.C. He also said he didn't really even understand why he should have to be there. And basically was asking our farmers to ignore the reality around them. I've visited about six farms in the last month or so, farms of all sorts, livestock, corn, soy, dairy farms, to really gauge how they're doing in this environment. You know, diesel fuel hit its highest point ever in Wisconsin last month, $5.80 per gallon. And I asked the farmers that I visited, how much fuel does your tractor hold? 100 gallons. How about that combined? 300 gallons. If they didn't forward contract, a lot of them don't have the money right now to fill their tanks for planting season. And then fertilizer? Many of our farmers are having to do without the full complement of fertilizer that they need for their fields. This is going to have ramifications for months and months to come. And our farmers work harder than anyone I know. So, you know, there may be a glitzy rally that the president holds in Wisconsin, but that does nothing to deal with the real harm our farmers and ultimately the American consumers of their products will have to deal with.
Turning to immigration and the federal budget, you and Democratic colleagues have been blocking funding for Immigration and Customs Enforcement and related agencies. Republicans now have used the reconciliation process to be able to pass that without that filibuster to block it. Was the effort worth it, given that you've ended up in the same place? These agencies are funded through the remainder of President Trump's presidency.
Well, I think what we just saw was truly an outrage. Look, we have seen this president surge lawless ICE agents and Border Patrol agents into cities across America. We saw up close what happened in the Twin Cities in Minnesota when masked, armed, unidentified agents just patrolled, roving patrols in residential neighborhoods, in churches, outside schools, outside health clinics. They killed two American citizens. And we insisted that there be common sense rules put in place, the same sort of rules that our local police officers have to obey. This is common sense. The Wisconsinites that I heard from during the surge in Minnesota were outraged to see what was happening in America and demanded that we do everything we can to put these rules in place. My Republican colleagues not only refused to do that in advancing this budget reconciliation bill that funds ICE agents and Border Patrol agents, but they also refused to put an end to Donald Trump's effort to create a slush fund to pay out $1.8 billion to convicted felons and others who participated in the January 6th insurrection. These are outrages. We should all be appalled by what we're seeing, and we should all be holding those who supported that legislation accountable.
We're talking to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. This week, President Trump formally nominated his former personal lawyer, Todd Blanche, to serve as the nation's next attorney general. What concerns would you raise about that nominee?
Well, the nominee has expressed his complete fealty and loyalty to Donald Trump. At times, above the law, his loyalty to Donald Trump seems to be a higher priority. And that is not acceptable. He said that he would consider himself still to be, in many ways, Donald Trump's lawyer in this role. And that's something that we should press against. He was also, at first, the biggest advocate for this $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund, as they call it, sort of came forth with this idea as a settlement of another case that Donald Trump had lodged against his own government. This is just a corrupt outrage, and anybody whose fingerprints are on that is not fit, in my mind, to be the United States Attorney General.
We're, of course, in an election year. The Trump administration has been pushing various forms of what's been called the SAVE Act. It would put federal controls over a lot of things that are currently done by state, including requiring particular proofs of citizenship for people registering to vote. This is something that Democrats and some Republicans have been blocking. It's not vulnerable to reconciliation. President Trump has said the Senate parliamentarian should be fired for not allowing changes like that to be made without that filibuster as an option. Do you see this SAVE Act affecting federal elections in the country moving forward in any way?
I will do everything I can to defeat it. And I believe that we can do so because of the Senate rules. This is an effort, as the president has said he wants to do, to nationalize elections. In Wisconsin, we run very effective, fair elections. We rely on local clerks across our states, hundreds of them, to do their jobs, and they provide accurate and fairly timely results on our elections. And so any effort to nationalize them is really an insult to the great job that we do in a state like Wisconsin. But it has some really foreboding implications. The idea that you have to come in person in order to register, to show documents that many U.S. citizens don't have, like passports, birth certificates. Those are not things that everybody has at the tip of their fingers. And, you know, this combined with other efforts the president has put forward, the seizure of old ballots in Georgia, the continual denial of the outcome of the 2020 election, his efforts through the Postal Service to create some national database of who's eligible to vote by mail. This should scare every citizen, and we've got to fight back and make sure that our elections are safe, fair, and timely, like we have in the state of Wisconsin and had throughout time.
Briefly, as we wrap up, you've been pushing for the release of the leader of Wisconsin's largest mosque, Salah Sansour, detained by immigration authorities. Where do those efforts stand now?
You know, our efforts to call attention to both his detention under questionable circumstances as a 30-year resident of the United States, but also our efforts to call attention to the fact that he has diabetes and requires medical care in the facility that he's in that he is not currently getting. So far, we have not heard an adequate response, in my mind, from the Department of Homeland Security and its new secretary, Mullen. I want assurances that he is getting the health care that he needs to maintain his health with diabetes. And frankly, he needs to have a hearing as soon as possible and should be released back into the community where he is viewed widely as a leader in Wisconsin.
Senator Baldwin, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Tammy Baldwin, Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. An interview with Republican Senator Ron Johnson is scheduled to air tomorrow here on the show.